Morning, everybody. How are we doing? Just one announcement. Mike Furry was named our Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, which I think is well deserved. Some of the things that he's done off the field, I think, are special. Both him and his wife do a lot of work in the community. I was really impressed with the toy drive that he put together and filling up a tractor trailer full of toys and getting all the guys involved and being able to distribute them in a lot of different areas around Cleveland. I thought was for such a short amount of time to put something like that together and to make it such a nice event is a good indication of who he is and what he believes in. And it's year-round for him, so hopefully that'll be something that he wins, because I think it's great. I think it's well-deserved. Today we'll move into third down. Really offensively, they've done an excellent job throughout the season on third down. Got a lot of different ways they can convert. One of the biggest ways with the quarterback, either extending the play or running with the football, and he's done that quite a bit. So we're going to have some challenges there, and I think that one of the areas that we've improved significantly in his third down defense. So it's going to be an important day for us in that area. And in terms of yesterday's practice, I thought overall it was good. I feel like a few things that we need to just get ironed out on both sides of the ball and on special teams. Today we'll work on punt and punt return. I told you guys yesterday that probably the best punt cover team that we've faced throughout the year. Anytime the most amount of yards that you've given up on returns is 26, it's pretty hard to do over 15 games. So we'll have a lot to prepare for there. So that, open up to questions.
What is Rubisky's status for this game?
Say it's not looking good, Tony. Hoping, but not that optimistic. So Jake will probably get another opportunity here. And he's a guy that I think has consistently improved since he's gotten here. There are a few hiccups here and there with really understanding the system, but I've liked the way that he's worked, and he's got good speed. He's got a good feel for running routes, and I'm excited to see him get a chance to play.
So, Rubisky's season is pretty much done. How would you characterize his rookie year?
Well, I think that what I really liked, and you saw it last game, is got a much better sense as the season went on for how to run routes, how to he understood what the route was, where to go, things like that. But I felt like he got a better feel for it, and I'd say the best example of that was the third down conversion that he made, where he caught it underneath, and instead of extending it and trying to run lateral, he turned it up right away and was able to get the first down. Thought he had an really excellent week of practice last week as well, and that's been more and more the pattern for him as the season has gone on. I think that each guy develops differently in terms of production. You just look at Sims and guys in the league 2 years, has 16 catches, and this year has 61 catches and 7 touchdowns. So it hits at different times for different guys. I was trying to think of the receiver that Brian and I were talking about the other day. We drafted New England from Notre Dame. Gosh, help me out, guys. 7th-round draft pick, Givens. One year, I think it was first year, he had 7 catches and 9 drops. And but he was another guy that, as he got going, really took off for him, and ended up having a nice career. So it hits at different times for different guys, but I've liked the progress he's made. The other thing I was really excited about for him was 2 tackles on special teams. The key block against Kansas City really saved the touchdown on Josh's second kickoff return. That's huge progress and important. I think he'll continue to develop as a receiver and continue to develop in other areas as well.
I know that Jones-Drew has done it for a much longer time, but Since he and Jerome are kind of both smallish backs, how do you compare those two?
Not a huge fan of comparing. I think your point is really important. He has done it for longer. I'm really pleased with the way that Jerome has developed this season as well. An area that's gone on underappreciated, I think, with him, because of how much production he's had in the running game, is the things that he's done in the passing game. And that touchdown pass to Muhammad, he really saves the play with his awareness and coming back in and getting the block that he gets. And there are multiple times, I think, especially over the last 4 or 5 weeks, where he's been impressive in that area. And it gets lost a little bit, but it's key because it allows us to do things that maybe weren't being as effective doing prior. So I'm happy with that. And I have to really see over time how it continues to develop.
Why has he gotten better in the blitz pick?
I think he's improved his technique, which is important. He's improved the way that he's taken on the blocks, because as they're coming in, if you sit and are stationary, you're going to absorb the blow. And with him, most of the times the guy he's blocking is bigger than he is. I think he's done a nicer job of aggressively going up and fitting it with his hands and a good base, which now stalemates it, or at least puts him in a lot better position to compensate for the usual size differential.
When you draft a guy, or pick a guy in trade or whatever, how much do you pay attention to size? If he's not your prototypical, what you look for in a spot?
It's hard. What you do is you look for, you have the ideal height and weight and speed and all those things, but then you also have to look at production. You have to look at playing speed versus time speed. And there's so many exceptions to the rules. I've seen, you look at a guy like Wes Welker, and his production is it's through the roof, and he's an undersized guy. Leon is an undersized guy. Deion Branch, undersized guy. You'd like them all to be a certain height and weight, but they don't always fit into that mold. Some small corners, had Ray Mickens, had Aaron Glenn, both those guys. I've played really well. Asante Samuel, height is probably what you want. Weight, he's a little bit slighter than most corners. So it's hard to say. I've seen some big guys play small, and small guys play big.
Looking forward, Matt Roth joined this team, in stride during the season. With the training camp under your system, where does he fit in the future? Would you like him at just one spot, or?
I think he'll stay outside and play that type of role. I think with a training camp under his belt, with a training camp under Tresnik's belt, and you got two guys there that are both stout. Jason's had, I'd say, a real advantage by playing both inside and outside. He can play outside linebacker, and now he's played inside linebacker. That gives you a lot of depth, because you can bring him, he can make the roster in either spot, however you want to slot him. So if you had another outside linebacker you wanted to keep, you move Truss to inside and play him there. If there's another inside guy you wanted to keep, you could do the same thing. And really that's where Bowens has value too. He's played both spots. And now when you get those guys that are 6'3", 250, and thumpers, and you can bring them inside or outside, you can get big on somebody in a hurry. If you want to. We had a package in New York, I think it was called Texas, because everything's big in Texas, where you move we move Sean Ellis out to outside linebacker at 290, and then take all the biggest guys you have and you put them in. And it's like a goal line package, but yet you can run all the things that you want to run, and there were very few times where we lined up and didn't have a size advantage in that grouping.
Such a good pass rusher. It seems
He's like a tank. I mean, you better block him with somebody big, because he's going to run over anything small in his way. And even the big guys are going to have a problem. He was a wrestler in college, and I think that helps. I mean, I always like wrestlers because they have good base, good leverage, know how to use their hands, know how to throw people. And he's just tough. You got to kill him to stop him, and good luck with that. You know.
Have you spent a lot of time thinking about free agency and how the CBA is going to affect restricted free agency versus unrestricted guys, and who might be available and who you'd have to re-sign on your team?
Well, you look at it, it's without any clarity, it's hard to know who is going to be available, and it's hard to know who on your team is either going to be here or not going to be here. So you have your parallel plans. If they're here, if they're not here, if this group is available, if they're not available, and I'm sure everybody's going through the same thing. You don't know what the landscape is, so you got to plan for all of it.
When is that supposed to be finalized?
Not sure, to tell you the truth.
Eric, you talked about the third down defense, and one of the reasons that I think that it's been so improved has been the things that you talked about, angles and not letting short passes turn into long passes and so forth. And I was curious, is there anybody, you're using a lot of the same guys in the secondary as you used before, and I'm curious if there's anybody in particular that has been, like, made vast improvements in those kind of areas.
I think as a group we're tackling better. I think one of the biggest things that we've done better is communicate and get to the right spots. A lot of the production early wasn't a function of them just beating us based on the throw or the catch. It's we weren't in the right spot, or we ran a pressure and we had two guys in the same gap. Well, at that point, you're not running a pressure anymore. You're just potentially giving up big plays. So that's gotten better overall. I think the disguises help too, as guys have really understood what we're doing. Now it doesn't look like what we're doing anymore. They're moving around, they're walking around, and that's what you want. You don't want to give the offense any pre-snap information where they can say, okay, this is what they're in, this is where the soft spot is, and let the quarterback go back, the receiver start his route with certainty. You want that uncertainty there. And ideally what you want to get to is you've got 11 guys, and you just keep moving them around. You run the same thing, but this time Bowens is the down lineman and Roth is the cover guy, or Abe is the underneath zone player, and Brandon is back at safety. You just keep flipping who does what they're supposed to do, and it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense to you, but you look at it on tape and you're like, okay, well, who's the big, who's the small, who's coming? And you break tendencies without ever really having to break tendencies. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
How is that for those guys to learn, since they've had, seems like more assignments than they have in the past?
It's like the typical progression of how it's gone everywhere I've been, where the first time you give them, four or five pages of new defense, it's like overwhelmed and they can't believe how much stuff is going in and the communication is difficult. I mean, today we probably gave out 14 pages of third down defense and nobody blinked. It's like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Because you're just used to it, because that's what we do and everybody talks through it and just you're not worried about it. It's just what we do. And there's that comfort level of, okay, we'll get it right between walkthroughs, practice, quizzes, and just nobody bats an eye anymore. Same thing offensively, shifts and motions and new plays and game plan specific things. When you first deal with that, it's like, my God. But now it's just what we do.
As we sit here today, the numbers say your offense is ranked 32nd, your defense is ranked 32nd. Do you think that's an accurate portrayal of both sides of the ball right now?
Well, I think it's accurate in the sense that that's what it is over 15 games. But if you look at the first eight versus the last seven, it's so dramatically different in almost every statistical category. I think we scored 78 points in the first eight games and 149 in the last seven. Defensively, the amount of points given up is down significantly. Turnovers, if you look at interceptions and fumbles, the volume's down, the amount of sacks given up, that's down, the amount of sacks we have is up from, I don't even know what it is, 12 to 16 or 12 to 19, something like that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Time of possession is up. All those things. Red zone, I think in the last three games. Red zone's been good, I think, throughout. Third down defensively, last three games been about 25%. So you look at it as a progression, and it looks a lot differently than if you look at it as a group of numbers. And that happened in New York as well, where the first eight games were, we were too many 30s. You know, last eight games were top 10 in most things.
Pardon me. Is this just another ball game, coach, for Derek Anderson, or is it a big game in that he admitted last week that he's auditioning for Holmgren in part, in that context? Just another ball game or a really big game?
I think it's an important game to all of us because it's our last opportunity to play this season. And when you look at the quarterback position or any of these positions, you're not going to evaluate it off of one game. You're going to look at the games that they played this year, probably last year. You can look at training camp. You can look at OTAs. You don't like to make a decision without looking at all the different things that go into it. So it's an important game because it's our last one, and we're all committed to keep moving forward. That's where the importance comes.
In light of Urban Meyer's situation last week, I was just wondering from a coach's perspective how you deal with the stress and the balance of being overworked with family.
I thought you were gonna say overweight. Accurate. Probably the whole staff. Yep.
But just how difficult that can be. I mean, I know you guys put in, demanding hours and just, thinking forward and taking care of your health and thinking about the family and future and what have you.
Yeah, I think unfortunately you leave all that stuff till the off season in terms of your health. You try to go the extreme the other way and make sure you get enough sleep, you're eating well, you're exercising. For me, the best stress relievers are the boys. And nothing changes my perspective as much as they do, because they don't, they're not worried about any of that stuff. And it's just so much fun to go spend time with them. And Jake smoked me three times in Wii boxing the other night. But now he didn't tell me how to punch the first fight. But or stuff like that where you get to experience Christmas again as a little kid because of all the things that they're experiencing, or even New Year's, any of that stuff. It puts things back into perspective.
You can relate that to what Meyer's dealing with.
Yeah, you definitely can. You work a ton of hours. You invest so heavily during the week for that game on Sunday, and when you lose, it's miserable. And when you win, you're happy for a little while, but it's nowhere near as much as when you lose. And everybody's vested. Everybody's trying to find that edge to help the team be successful. So there's definitely all those issues involved.
Derek Anderson, when the rumors started surfacing about Mike Holmgren coming aboard, and we talked to him about the West Coast offense, and he was the first to admit that his style and his strengths, he even said don't fit the West Coast. And I'm curious as to what your take on that would be, and his, if the West Coast offense is used next year, how he fits into that possibility.
Yeah, I don't know if there definitely has to be one formula for running an offense, and I don't know what exact characteristics would have to be part of that formula. I think the key thing is, can you run the offense well? Do you understand where the reads are? I think there's consistent things for quarterbacks, and different quarterbacks would be good in different systems, regardless. I think Tom Brady will probably be good in any system he runs, or Peyton Manning, he'd be good in any system he runs. Now, probably wouldn't want to put a stationary guy in like a move the pocket bootleg type offense, but otherwise, I think it's traits.
Was Brady Quinn able to avoid surgery?
I think that's still something that we're going to investigate, and there hasn't been a conclusion there.
What exactly did happen to his foot?
Like I said, on that play, it's hard to really tell what the thing was.
Physically. What's wrong with it?
I don't want to end the new year or the old year on a bad note here, Jeff, but I don't really want to get into that.
Stay healthy over a long stretch, getting the number of carries that he's gotten the last couple weeks?
You want all those guys to stay healthy, and it's a constant debate. What's the right number of touches for a running back? Is it a smaller back 15? Is it 25? Is it, I've heard that whole thing. He can only have 15 touches a game, and that's his limit. Thinking, well, why? Why is that? Why is that the magic number? Why is 15 what he gets? I don't know. I don't. You want any back to be able to go through 16 games and handle the things he's being asked to do. I don't know if there's always a magic number with, if you give him just this amount of plays, then you have the best chance of him lasting.
Any New Year's revolution?
No, we've got. What do we have? Quite a few hours left to hash that out. So none jump out right away, but I'm sure get home tonight, probably squeeze a couple in.
Thank you.